We are going to be back in the book of Colossians tonight, and we are going to be finishing this up here next week. I'm not sure how long I'll go tonight. It might be short, it might be long, but we'll see. See what the Lord has. I do want to finish up this section and not go into the next section, so, and I wanted to try to finish this section last week, but that didn't happen, so we are going to finish it tonight. And the section I'm talking about is Colossians 4, and we were doing Colossians 4 in sections, I believe, let's see, we were starting at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, or actually 2 through 6 is where we were, and let me read the context again. And we were talking about how we have our public life and the actions we have and how we speak to others. And we talked about that last week as far as outreach and witnessing and evangelism. And tonight we're going to be talking about speaking for performance in our public life and what we do and then how we talk. So let's read Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. And as I said, we were, going back just a quick summary, you know, in verse 2, we talked about prayer as far as that we are steadfast in our prayer. And we said watching the same, that we're alert, watching while we are praying and not falling and dozing off, but at times when we are alert, and that we pray with thanksgiving. And we covered a number of areas that you can be thankful for, that there should be always something that as Christians that we can be thanking God for. And that we can, even as we know here, Paul being in prison, is he still saying that watch in the same with thanksgiving. And that we say that he wanted to be prayed for and that he would have opportunity to share the gospel with them around him. It says open up unto a door of utterance, that they would have that opportunity of witnessing to those and reaching those people that the Lord would want them to reach and make those doors open. And to speak the mystery of Christ, to reveal salvation, those mysteries that are in the Old Testament, that now Paul is out there revealing what the rest of the story is and opening up that door in the mystery of Christ and sharing that salvation message. And then just a reminder that he is in bonds and that I make it manifest as I ought to speak, that he is speaking those things that are appropriate and not doing it out of his own strength, out of his own will, out of his own mind, but it's the mind of Christ that is in Paul that he is sharing, that he is speaking as he ought to speak. And that's where we're picking up tonight, is those are the things that we were talking about, prayer, outreach, and saying the right things for the Lord. And then here we get to 5 and 6. And it says, walk in wisdom. And here we have walking wisely. How do we walk wisely? And, you know, the point here is the fact that we have to be walking with credibility so people who see our lives, then what we say to them is any credibility at all for what we say and what we do are consistent with each other. And that, you know, we have the wisdom from studying the scripture and studying the word that we have can evaluate those circumstances that God has placed us in. You know, every day we make decisions. We're placed in circumstances on how do we respond to them, and are we responding in an appropriate manner and making godly decisions in those things that we think of. And I think back, if we can't make things in the little things in life, you know, the big things are even more difficult. So every day we have a wealth of decisions that we're approached with in circumstances on evaluating when we should be looking that we have the wisdom that our walk matches our talk when we're out there sharing and that we have a Christian life that we're careful about, that we don't take circumspectly in how we walk each and every day, that we let ourselves go astray, and that we're carefully planning and consistent righteous life. And how does that come by? So let's look at this. Let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians. So what is contrary living and walking? And here, we go back here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read 12 and 13. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And here we have the term that is used in Scripture that distinguishes us from those others is those that are without. And you can see the language here will be consistent, like them that are without, those that are without the salvation that we have, and those that are on the outside looking in, then the lost that are around us. And we see that in this section here is that we are different from those that are without, those that are from the outside, that are lost. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may lack of nothing. Again, we see here them that are without, and the way we are supposed to be living our lives in front of them is honestly, is living them, giving them an honest picture in our interface with the lost around us on how we are walking in front of those that are contrary to who are contrary to the salvation message and are living that are without. And here it's talking about honestly towards them, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And over in 1 Timothy, in chapter 3, 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them that which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Again, we have to be a good report. Not that we compromise our position just to stay in the worldly sense, friends with the world, but from a sense that we are consistent in our faith, that we aren't inconsistent by what we say and what we do, that we are of good report, that we can be looked upon for somebody, even in a lost world, that we are considered somebody that can be that has a good reputation for being honest and being forthright in our dealings with the world around us. And that the world is looking at it, that from the outside, they're looking for us, that poor testimony for our faith. That's the evaluation process we're under each and every day, is looking for that poor testimony. And they're waiting to see, what God's going to do in our life and how we reveal that to them. And even in, let's go on now. In Galatians 3, let me go back to Galatians. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye now made perfect by the flesh? We're not saved by what we do. We're not. This is a works by salvation, and we shouldn't see that in the world around us. We know that when people are living, we need to live that righteous life. There's no reason, and this is the difficult part of the frustration we have with the world, why do we expect the world to live like Christians? It's a lost cause. And, we're not going to save them with our righteous living. We can attract them, point them to the right thing, but it's only through the Word of God. And it's so frustrating over and over again that we make the world want to live like we live, but it's not going to save them at the end of the day. It's not that we can force upon them the righteous living, because they don't have it within them, the power of God and the Holy Spirit to live that way. Now, they should be conformed to what we see as laws and rules and order, and rather than chaos and living according to the father of lies or Satan and what he would have them to live. But as we live and walk in a world, we need to be a witness and testimony, and the thing we control is our own lives, on that testimony that plays out before that lost world, that it's consistent. And the only reason I'm saying that is so it's consistent when we share our testimony and point them to the gospel and the plan of salvation, that they respond, because they say, well, that they can see the consistency in your living. But our righteous living is not going to save anybody, and forcing them to conform to a style of living isn't going to save them either. And over in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Again, from the world's perspective, that's what we expect to see, is chaos, strife, envy. And that's what you see in the world working, is that the confusion in every evil work. And that's not the conformity of the Christian walk, is that we cause confusion, cause strife, is we are here to live a righteous, honest life in front of those around us, and to only be consistent with what we say. So let's look at wisdom walking. Okay, let's review a little bit here. So if we want to do wisdom walking or walking wisely, is let's look at Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, let's look at the source of this. And these are going to be pretty obvious. If we turn to Proverbs 9 and chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Again, we know that the beginning of anything is the fear of the Lord, that we see that in our lives, in a righteous fear of him, and that we can see where the beginning of wisdom is. Its source is within the Lord. And let's go on to the next one, in James, back to the book of James. And in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. Again, just the lack of wisdom, we should be searching the scriptures, but seeking God to grant us wisdom, which is applying the knowledge we're gaining in our study to our everyday life and having that wisdom of how to apply. And we do it through prayer, communicating with God and asking. So we have the source of wisdom is the God, is the fear of the Lord. And here we see that communicating with him and asking through prayer is number two. Well, let's go back to Colossians 3. We just read this a couple of weeks ago, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, it can't be done anything. You know the source. We know the communication path. And now you can't do anything without the word of Christ, the Bible, dwelling in us richly to give us the wisdom, that source of knowledge to base that wisdom on. And let's go on here to stay in Colossians. We covered this back when we early. It's Colossians 1:28. Is whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's the reason we are here, to teach and to edify each other, and the teaching ministry that is so important in building that wisdom. And the reference here in Colossians 1:28 is the fact that warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. So the purpose of teaching is to gain that wisdom. And then, you know, it's our wisdom and the way we walk doesn't mean anything without the words that we share with those around us. So, and to give body and meaning to anything we'd say to anything has to be consistent with the way we walk. Now, we do know that each and every time, just as Paul in Colossians here is praying for the opportunity to have the door open for the utterance, we are supposed to make the most of what every opportunity we have because of the time, the times that we're living in. So if we go back here and look at Psalm, in Psalm chapter 90, let's look at the critical nature of the times we are in. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, we have, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's only so many days that we're granted here that we need to be using each and every one that we have the opportunity to speak to those around us, that we make the use of the days that God has given us. And we go back here to John. In the book of John. John chapter 9. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works for him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking. While it is day, that night cometh when no man can work. We know that the end times are near, that we have to speak when we have the opportunity to speak, as we see that when it's day, when the opportunity is before us, when we have the day, because night is cometh, or the night cometh when no man can work. So we have the opportunity God has given us. And in Romans chapter 13, the importance of the time that we're granted here to be obedient to Christ and making the most of each and every opportunity. In Romans chapter 13, in 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Given the opportunity that we have a consistent walk in the Lord each and every day, because the day is coming, the day is at hand. We don't have the opportunity to waste time not being consistent as it here. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Don't waste time living as the world would have you to live, in a wasted effort and looking in the, what we could only destroy our testimony by living that way. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way we make no provisions for the flesh in our life, is that we are out there living, making the opportunity, being consistent, not just being consistent in using the opportunity and the time we have, but being consistent and not wasting time from the fact of living like the world would have us to live and using the time that way, that we are always consistent. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Timothy 2:15, and we know this verse rather well too. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we are take the opportunity to work out, and we're rightly dividing the word of truth, that we can relate to non-Christians what that word is, that we can show thyself approved unto God, and that we are out there at work for him, and that we don't need to be ashamed of what we're speaking about to those around us, and that we are out there with a boldness sharing our testimony and pointing to the word of God and teaching those around us. So we need to be walking with that wisdom towards those who are out there, and that we understand what they're going through. I think we realize, as we started this book in Colossians, the world around us. When I was back talking about putting on the new man and what Colossians were and the things that we put off from our old man, as we covered that in chapter 3, and what things are being put off, what things are being put on, that we have this true reflection of the things in our life, is that we should understand from our former selves what are the things that concern the world, because at once we were in those shoes. We were walking as the world would walk before we were saved. So in understanding their perspective, we can walk in wisdom, at least guiding for our soberness and our stableness that we have in our walk with Christ, is sharing that comfort and pointing to the scripture, again, to be consistent and being that example that would track them to Christ. So we see here in Colossians 4 and in verse 5 that we are, in fact, walking in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, that we have that consistent message, that consistent testimony with our doing and saying, and that we redeem the time wisely and using every opportunity to share with them around us. So let's go on to 6. It says, let your speech be also. And we can see here, you know, people observe us and what we walk and talk and how we observe our walk and listen to our talk. Is that they need to see that we're the integrity we have of the two together, and that we can hear. And let's go over to Luke chapter 4:22. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? When Christ was teaching, having the appropriate words will attract attention, as Christ did here in his youth. The right words will have that, where you're speaking with wholesomeness and helpful words in our talk, and we practice what we teach, will garner an audience to those around us. People will listen to that, and they'll respond one way or another. You can't control the response. They'll definitely will evoke a response when we're being honest and wholesome and helpful in our words, and we're practicing what we preach. As even Christ here, who is sharing this, and you know these gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth, and they're attracting, he's attracting those around him to see what he has, and it creates an audience for the gospel. And we can see here in Colossians 4:6, it says that we should have a graciousness. Let your speech be always with grace. Again, that graciousness in our speech, that, you know, that we see the world around us, that it needs to be a habitus on having that gracious speech, that comforting words, that the persecution and stress and difficulty is in all the circumstances of the world that we see around us. And to bring about that speech with graciousness is appreciated to those around us, because they seldom hear it, is that we're there in that we provide that benefit. And let's go over here and see an example in Ephesians 4 in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Again, the fact that we are consistent in our walk, and that which is good for the use of edifying. And that's building people up, giving them the words they need to hear for building up, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that we're out there and they can see Christ in us as we minister grace unto those that are here. So we're constantly having that wholesome fitting, and that we're kind in our interaction with them. We're sensitive to their needs. It's so often in the world today that you hear the fact that there is little sensitivity or caring for those around us on human interaction level. Even in the workplace, you can see there's very little that people want with each other, and hearing their complaints, hearing their sob stories, hearing everything else about their lives, and they get little sympathy from the world in a lost state. And it's something that as Christians, and I tell people in my workplace, they can use the couch in my office anytime they want as they come into my office, and I will not charge them a fee for listening as they lay on the couch. So, and I don't have a couch in the office, but I tell them that they are more than happy to use my couch anytime to share whatever on their minds or anything else that's bothering them, and that they can lay out. But we need to be reflective that we have that opportunity to be different from the world in how we interact grace to those around us, that wholesome, fitting, and kind, being sensitive and, you know, complimentary, gentle, truthful, and loving, and thoughtfulness that we have, because it's just such a coarse world out there, and interaction from that little empathy or sympathy from those around them, that just to be different attracts attention. And then as we go on in Colossians here, from the fact that seasoned with salt, and we know that salt enhances flavor and preserves food, as it did here in the context of the Old Testament, was used quite often for preservation of food so it would not spoil. And that's the way it's supposed to characterize our interaction also, is that we're seasoned with salt, preserving and providing that flavor and enhancing the things that we would say. And it's a sharp contrast to see from what you see in the world around us. And if we go look at Proverbs 27, verse 6, and in Proverbs 27 and verse 6, we can see, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Just trying to see the world around us and how they are so deceitful and trying to gain their own position and how they would advance themselves, their own agenda, when here we are to be faithful to each other as a friend and those around us, as a contrast with the world and the enemies that they are, and trying to be deceitful to them, and how we can contrast ourselves to be different, to have that purifying influence on those around us. And trust me, if you it should be your walk on a regular basis, it will change the characteristics of them around you. I've learned that people will change their tone, not that you just have to be clergy with a band on your neck to say, oh, the reverend's here, we have to watch what we speak. If you don't participate and you have a different words or different vocabulary from the world, they'll manage themselves to your vocabulary because they know and they'll recognize that there's a difference on how you speak and how you act versus the world. And they'll control and they'll temper their vocabulary. And you can have that influence. Now, you can go along with the gang. That's an option. And then they'll just act like the world. But if you maintain that steadfast example of that Christly living, trust me, they'll change and control themselves to your walk, and it will have an influence on them. They'll probably think you're Mormon. That's what they think of me when I don't drink. The first thing they say is, you must be Mormon. I was like, no, I'm not. So, but the testimony I have, because usually when I'm at dinner on a business and I'm the one that doesn't drink, is everybody else around the table normally will not order alcohol then. If I don't order alcohol, it's amazing the influence, because when they're on their own, they're talking about all the stuff they do and everything else. But then when I'm along and they know that I don't drink and they know that I'll just order soda or water, is they'll immediately not order alcohol when I'm at the table. And it's amazing to see, except my secretary thinks San Pellegrino is alcohol. So at one time, it's sparkling water. So if you don't know what that is. But other than that, is that you can have an influence in the world just by living righteous living and living this out and having them influence to you. Let's go to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Again, the influence that we can have, that we always have the answer in season and out of season, being on the edge, ready to serve and ready to share that message that we need to share at the right time and the timing that the Lord controls, that we're given every opportunity as Paul had shared in Colossians in the section, redeeming the time that we have, and our conscience is always around and ready and willing. You can find that when you have that consistent life, that consistent living, it's rather easy to share the Lord and what he's doing in your life with those around you because you're consistent. If you're living an inconsistent life in front of the world, well, how easy is it to come and share the gospel with them because of an embarrassing situation that you might have created in your own fall, of their own temptations, or how you might have failed in your walk in front of them, and then you're coming back to share the gospel with them? And it could be an embarrassing situation, but if you have that consistent living, consistent life in front of them, it very naturally, easily flows into then sharing the right thing at the right time. And as we see here, as you're sanctifying the Lord in your hearts and be ready, you're always ready then. It's natural tendency to be ready. And your willingness to share, to give an answer to every man that seeketh you the reason for the hope that is in you. And it's such a difference from the world to live to that hope, to give them that hope for them around us that we can point to, well, why are we different? Why? What is the center of that hope that's within us? And pointing to the mysteries and revealing the mysteries that Paul's referring to. And we could also, the saltiness of our language is also in speech. In James, while we're here in 1 Peter, let's go to James. In James 3, verse 2, for in man things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. We can see that our language is important on how we speak. Because we went through this section before of James chapter 3, how easily our tongue is uncontrolled, and that we need to be careful of our words, that they may obey us, and then we turn out that their whole body, that we have control of the tongue. And it's a very difficult task. And let's go back to the book of Psalms now. In Psalm 12, Psalm chapter 12 and verse 4. Who have said, with our tongues will our prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Again, giving our mouths, our tongues, and what we say to the Lord's control, and that we're not using it as our own instrument, and that we have no control over it ourselves, but that we are using it of the Lord, as we see here in chapter 12, verse 4, who has said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, that it's not, and that we give it over to the Lord, and the Lord's control of what we say. And in Psalm 141, in 141 and verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips, that we're always looking for the Lord to control what we say, giving our tongue and our lips and how we speak over to the Lord, that we are carefully, as I said earlier, a careful, planned, Christian, consistent, righteous life, that we don't live circumspectly or so recklessly or carelessly, in what we do in front of those around us. Now let's go see what is some examples of being having speech seasoned with salt. And we're right here. We're going to start with 141:3, which is what we just said. A set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Is that we speak with prayer, a prayerful message that we have, and that we speak prayerfully. As it says here, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips, that we're prayerfully speaking. Let's go on to Ecclesiastes, as we're over here, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, and this list we'll finish with here tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. As we speak graciously. A wise man's mouth are gracious. We also see that, as we read in Colossians 4:6, which is our verse we're at, is that we let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So we should have a prayerful speech. We should have a gracious speech. And let's go to Proverbs. So these aren't just things that we make up about the characteristics of how we should be living. These are biblical reasons and biblical basis of how we should speak seasoned with salt. So Proverbs 13 and verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And I'm going to read through the three references, then we'll come back and see if you see a pattern here on the three verses. And then Matthew 5:37. In Matthew 5:37 we see, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than these cometh of evil. Or whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Sorry about that. And then lastly, James 1. And James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The consistency here is to do cautiously, not with a quick answer, not with a quick word, but that we say what we mean, just like we saw in Matthew 5:37, you're yea, yea, you're nay, nay. That people understand that you're not trying to be deceptive, you're not trying to be leading them astray. Is that you mean what you say, and we say it with graciousness, prayerfully, and we say it cautiously, that we're cautious about how we speak to the world around us and how we present ourselves, and that the consistency that we see here. And those who don't have control, is their religion is in vain. So ultimately, if we're not giving our tongue and our words over to the Lord, it's just saying that we have a vain faith and that what we believe is not consistent with how we talk. And let's go on now to, while we're here in the New Testament, let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and 25. 4 verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And we see 4:25 in Proverbs 12:17. And in Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Again, it's so obvious today in today's world to distinguish yourself just by saying the truth. And it makes it easy if you don't have to fabricate a story or fabricate a lie, is to be consistent by saying what's truthful, and you don't have to make things up or keep things in order by trying to cover whatever you might have said that was deceitful or not truthful. So we speak truthfully. And in Proverbs, while we're back here in Proverbs, let's go to 15. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stir up anger. Is that we speak softly and forcefully, and not, you know, just that we are not up in arms or not elevating our voice as far as stirring up somebody else, but seeing with a soft answer to turneth away wrath. We're not there to provoke anger in people, but a softness in return certainly it provides the response as Proverbs tell us here, turneth away wrath. It'll calm the situation down by providing that soft tone and that word in response and the toning it down. And go back to Ecclesiastes again. We read Ecclesiastes 10:12. Well, let's go read Ecclesiastes 10:11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. And verse 20, curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. We should speak respectfully. This is a difficult one for us as Christians in a lost world around us, where we have lost that are in control. But we do see the fact that we are not supposed to be babblers, as no better, or a serpent out there viciously attacking. And we see in verse 20, it says, curse not the king, no, not in thought. Again, hearing those words come from our mouths as we don't speak respectfully of those in charge and those that are around us, because they are the king or because they are the rich around us, the word will get out. And as it very clearly indicates here, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice. Don't try to cover it up, because it will get out. Word will get around. It's amazing how rumor mills work. They're very efficient in getting words out. So if we maintain a consistency in how we reflect on those around us and not attacking viciously by spreading those rumors, and are respectful in all things we say to all people, no matter if they deserve it or not. Certainly there are those around us that might deserve it, but as a Christian walk, it's not deserving to come out of our mouth. And Ephesians 5, let's go back to Ephesians. Sorry for the flipping around, but just to give you a biblical basis for these things and the characteristics that we have of seasoned with salt. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Again, we should be here speaking gratefully. We should be grateful for many things, and not the fact that filthiness or foolish talking or jesting that aren't convenient, but giving thanks that we are grateful for the things that, and we've talked about being thankful for many things in this section previously, as far as we should always be thankful for something, grateful for something, that we can at least display that attitude of gratefulness for those around us. And then in Titus, we go back here, Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, is that we are always kind, speaking kindly to them around them, to those around us. And Philippians 1:27. Only let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in James 3, is that we're consistent in our living, that what we say and what we do. And in James 3, 8 through 10, that we have a consistency, speak consistent. And we see here in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But the tongue can no man tame, as an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and there curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. But my brethren, these things ought not so to be. So we can't have the same thing coming out of our mouths saying two different things. So you can't be inconsistent and yet reflect that we have control over our tongue, as it's saying. You can't be blessing and cursing out of the same mouth, reflecting the same inner being that we are on how we're supposed to be. It's got to be consistent speech that we have. And back in Ecclesiastes again, we're going to be bouncing back a couple times here, but this is the last time in Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 9 to 11. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out, set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, that we speak wisely. And then we have that wise speak, which means we have knowledge, and we can share wisdom, as we had earlier, in the teaching that we would have to each other and edifying each other. And in 1 Peter 3:15, we read this already. In 1 Peter 3:15, that we redeem the time. And sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. The meekness and fear is that we speak opportunely. We use the opportunities for each and every one that is given to us, that we can speak to those around us. And let's go back to the book of Psalms here. Psalm 77, and we'll finish up on two final points. In Psalm 77 and verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings, talking about our faithfulness. And in 119, chapter 119 and verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. That we have faithful speech, that we're speaking of him often in our faithfulness. And in 145, verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. And we're always speaking, and we speak faithfully of our God on how he works in our lives, that he's speaking for us, or that we're speaking of him in our speech with them around us. And then finally, we get the Proverbs. Proverbs 16:24. We have two more references here. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Is that we have wholesome speech with those around us. And then in closing here, Ephesians 4:29. And this is a great verse. And Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We talked about that. But if you keep that verse in mind, it summarizes everything else, is that we have an edifying speech, we're building people up, and that we have that wholesomeness about us, that we're speaking faithfully. So as we've gone through here, those things that characterize our speech is that we're prayerful, we're gracious, we're cautious, we're truthful in how we interact, we have a soft temperament about our speech, we are respectful, we're grateful, kind, consistent in our speech, we're wise, we use opportunities as they're given to us, we're faithful and wholesome. And like I say, verse 420, or Ephesians 4:29, on how we speak and present ourselves in the communication out of our mouths is really summarized there, is that being not corrupt, and that we allow ourselves to have the good and edifying and ministering grace unto those around us, is that we can talk to God about others, and that we have the opportunity for others about God and make an impact for Christ on this world around us as we live out our Christian life. So seeing that, we hopefully will close out the book of Colossians next Sunday night, and we'll see if the Lord would have us do that. If he tarry, we'll do that next Sunday evening, and we'll see where he leads us next for Sunday service. Or Sunday